Our first scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. Hear now the words of the Lord. For I have received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel according to John, Chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 and 31 through 35. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Jesus said, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We Americans love ideas, don't we? We love speaking about lofty ideals, about concepts like freedom and justice. And we love letting everyone know just how committed we are to these ideas. Our love for ideas can be seen in the way our leaders talk about these ideas. In his 2023 State of the Union address, former President Joe Biden explained why we love ideas when he explained that America is, quote, "the only nation in the world built upon an idea." Namely, the idea that, quote, "all of us, every one of us, is created equal in the image of God." But when we look back over the span of America's history, I think we can safely say that our actions haven't always lived up to our conviction to that idea. It shows up in big ways and in small ways. It smacks us across the face when we read the phrase, "all men are created equal," yet we read of humanity's history, which supports that we believe otherwise. On a smaller scale, our relationships and our dealings with others are littered with hate, with vitriol, and an unwillingness to see the other side. For some reason, we love these ideas in our head. We love love, justice, and compassion. But when it comes to acting in accordance with these principles, we often fall short. The Apostle Paul summarizes it fairly well when he says, quote, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want to do is what I do." But this is the plight of being human, isn't it? That's part of living in this world we inhabit. What we've learned now more than ever is that commitment to an idea isn't enough to transform ourselves or the world. We can't think ourselves into transformation, can we? No matter how hard we try, and no matter how much we can try and convince ourselves or others of our commitment to an idea, we cannot rationalize anyone into action, including ourselves. Sure, the mind is a powerful thing, but it's not powerful enough to bring about the transformation we so sorely need today. As I approached today's scripture passage to prepare for this service, I was struck by the phrase, "I give you a new commandment." I was struck because it probably didn't sound very new to the disciples, and it doesn't sound that new to us, does it? As a people who so strongly cling to ideas, the command to love one another isn't very earth-shattering. Had the disciples been paying attention to Jesus' ministry to this point, they too would have understood that they probably needed to love one another. By this point, they were probably able to expand on this idea a bit. And today we see a great example of how we can love others, by washing one another's feet, a symbol of service and humility. So if the commandment itself wasn't new, which it definitely wasn't, how then do we explain this, quote, new commandment? When I ask myself this question, that's when I realize that the newness of the commandment doesn't come from the concept of loving one another, nor is the commandment new because we've learned a new way how to love one another by washing each other's feet. It's deeper than that. Instead, I have to believe that the newness of this commandment comes from the new circumstances we find ourselves in to carry out this commandment. See, this passage begins Jesus' final discourse in John, where Jesus tells the disciples the plan. The most important part will be his departure so that God can send the Holy Spirit to the disciples. This Spirit, called the Spirit of Truth or the Advocate, will take Jesus' place on earth within the disciples. So, I believe Jesus' commandment to love one another is a new commandment, not because it's novel, but because our circumstances to carry out this commandment have changed. Jesus is saying that we no longer have to do this without the Holy Spirit. We no longer have to do this without understanding what Jesus' resurrection means about God's plans for us and our world. What this Spirit allows is for us to become more like Christ, a man whose head walked in complete alignment with his heart. In the words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in an unpublished sermon called Love in Action, he says, quote, "Jesus does not profess to take the high road of justice while treading the low road of injustice. Jesus does not profess devotion to equality but practice the exact opposite. Jesus does not have a high blood pressure of creeds and an anemia of deeds. Jesus does not separate the what ought to be from what he does." No, not at all. In Jesus, we see something new. What we see in Jesus is the complete ability to align his actions with his head and with his heart. And today, I believe that in his new commandment, Jesus invites us to do the same through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we have never been so able and so eager to align our heads, our hearts, and our spirits. As we read this beautiful story we're told this time of year, we're reminded that we're not the same as we were before Christ. And because of this, we've never been so able to transform the world because we too have been transformed. We too have been gifted the Spirit. We too have a path to align our head, our heart, and our spirits in a new and in an exciting way that glorifies God and leads others to God. And through these things, we've never been so close to actually getting there. So hear the good news. The transformation of the world will happen by aligning our heads, our hearts, and our spirits in a way we never have before. And we're invited to do so today by Jesus himself. So have hope that this isn't some old commandment. No, it's a new commandment. And it's new because we've never been so close to getting there. We've never been so able to align our head, our hearts, and our spirits to build the kingdom of God on earth. May it be so. Amen.